2 Samuel chapter 11. Now tonight's message, it's a pastor's reasoning to his church, giving a warning about the future here. And I'll show what I mean just in a moment. But this is the great fall of King David. You know this text quite well, 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Lord, I pray that you'll help me take just a little bit of time tonight to warn our church that the routine of our lives is about to be interrupted. Summertime's coming. And we have seen over the years people who, because of their routine being changed, and because the summer coming, and much more relaxed time, much more freedom, we've seen people stray from the church and stray from the word and stray from the preaching, and some never recovering, and others who recovered but did not recover without great loss and baggage and scars. And I pray, Lord, that you help this hour be the hour that we take to really set some guards about ourselves from a changed routine to being so lax that we literally backslide and get away from you in the summertime. Help us as we share just three thoughts tonight about the sins of summertime. In thy name I pray, amen. We always have to keep guard of ourselves about being cold and indifferent and away from God. But for some reason, it seems that when there's a change in our routine, when that happens, things change, and maybe there's more of a relaxed time. There's more of a, just a different time zone. The responsibilities that we have are not as great as what they are during the rest of the year. And we take advantage of that. And by the way, let me say, I think that's a good thing. I think you should take advantage of it. And I think that everyone here, if you can take 1 or 2 weeks of vacation back to back, or if you want to stagger them, that would be fine. But it seems like summertime has just turned into playtime at the church. To be very frank with you, the church has not rebounded. I'm not talking about our church, but I'm talking about churches across the country. They've not rebounded after COVID. We tried to go to church. We traveled not long ago. I was preaching up at Ambassador Baptist College. And we went to two different churches, and they didn't have Sunday evening services. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why we can meet on Sunday morning, but it's not safe to meet on Sunday night. It just doesn't make sense to me. And we were still in our time zone. So we went to one church that their service started at 5 o'clock, and I thought, well, that'd be great. We had a hotel room in Knoxville. We were going to stop there. And we waited till 5:15. Nothing, no one ever came. So we left and we went to another church just about 7 miles away. And their services started at 6. So we went there and we waited till about 6:15. And I thought, well, we'll be late going into the service, but we'll go to Knoxville and we'll walk in. Maybe we'll miss the song service, but we'll get to the preaching. And then I was reminded that that's the different time zone. They're already in the service. So we listened to Brother Martis preach to us through our live stream. It's not something I like to do. We tried, and we lost about 2.5 hours on the road trying to find church. But if you're not careful, you'll get so relaxed and your routine will change, and that you have a perpetual 2.5 month vacation, and God and church and Bible and spiritual things will pale and will take second seat. And listen, we can't allow that to happen in our life. A change of routine is not always a good thing. And every summer, good people become backslidden. They get away from God. And it's amazing, but people who get out of church, sometimes it takes several years to get them back in church, who at one time were so faithful and walked with the Lord and even had some areas of service that they were faithful to. Now, notice the Bible says, and at the time when kings go forth to battle, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. David was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't, not just David, but think about Lot. Lot's routine was changed. And when his herds became so great and populated, and when Abraham's herds became so great and populated that there began to be struggles of enough land to yield what these their herds needed, that their herdsmen began to argue and fight, and they separated themselves. But it was a change of routine. Lot walked with God as long as he walked with Abraham, who was the friend of God. But when he ceased to walk with God, or walk with Abraham, he ceased to walk with God. And he pitched his tents towards the well-watered plains of Jordan. There was Peter. And Peter, who says, "I go a-fishing." In John chapter 21, verse 3, "And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee." Can I tell you this? You can't be backslidden without taking people with you. You know, you cannot do the wrong thing and without influencing others. And they may not even be close in your circle, but they'll say, "Well, he does it, she does it, they do it. They're getting away with it. Why can't I get away with it too?" But you don't know that they're getting away with it. And let me tell you, nobody gets away with it. We see that it says, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I think of Hosea chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "For Israel slideth back like a backslidden heifer." It paints the portrait or a picture of this huge cow going up this muddy slope and getting close to the top and then sliding uncontrollably all the way back. And that could be you. This is what happens here to Israel. It says, "Now the Lord will feed them as lambs in a large place." So David and Bathsheba, they fell into sin. The sin was also on Bathsheba at this time. It was a different time. It says it was at a time when kings go forth to battle. Now there's three steps to prevent, I think, would help us prevent getting backslidden during the summertime. And let me tell you what they are. Number one, I think we ought to remember the law of sin. You may occasionally get away with breaking man's law. You may speed from time to time and get away with it. Feels good, doesn't it? You may roll through a stop sign and keep going. But let me tell you, nobody ever gets away breaking God's law. It's not going to happen. Notice in Galatians 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." And let me say, be careful to not mock God. You know, it's funny, some of the attitude people have today, like, "Ooh, I miss church today, I'm a bad man." That's mocking God. You know, "Ooh, I don't do this," or "Ooh, I don't do that, I'm a bad, bad person." That's mocking God. And it's interesting, people who are the weak Christians gravitate to those people, and you hurt those people. Don't mock God. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now we know the laws of reaping. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. Don't think that you're going to sow a rotten field and get a blessing. It's not going to happen. Never has happened. It's not going to happen. You're not going to beat the odds on that. Verse 8 says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." There's a lot of people who have wept and cried and wished they could re-sow the field. And I've helped a lot of people reap a bag of air and the whole time sowing righteous seed, so when harvest time comes again, they could have blessings. It says here, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, beware of your sowing, because you're going to reap whatever it is. You may not reap it tomorrow, it'll be later, but you're going to reap what you sow. You'll reap later and you'll reap more. In Galatians 5, verse 17, now we're talking about remembering the law of sin. The law of sin should keep us on the straight and narrow. God doesn't have favorites, and it rains on the just and the unjust. But if we open the door, if we give the devil room, if we give him space, in Galatians 5, 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's this constant battle of flesh and spirit. Now, the way to have victory in that is to abide in him and let his word abide in you. That takes the struggle out of it. But these are contrary, the one to the other. Look what it says. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Those who sow to the flesh, there are things that God had for you that you're not going to be able to do now. You're not going to be able to have. Those things that you did when you were gratifying your flesh, where God had some other things for you, you have canceled yourself. You've negated yourself out of that blessing. Doesn't mean that God's grace is not there. It certainly is. But let me tell you, Esau, he sought repentance with tears and found none. Lot looked back and he saw the ruins of all his life and everything going up in fire and brimstone. I believe there was times that David, when he saw the rebellion of Absalom and the death of Adonijah and the death of Amnon and the rebellion of Absalom, the terrible end of Tamar, I think that he probably wished he could have a repeat. Don't you? I think so. See, the wages of sin is death. It's death to our marriages. It's death to our families. It's death to our children. It's death to our future. Ephesians 20, verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow down myself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You read this passage and you see where how you conduct yourself, how you're setting the future for your children and your children's children. Romans 8 verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And if you want a life that's full of blessings and full of peace, let me tell you something. This summer, when there's going to be great temptation to do different things, you better remember the law of sin. No one breaks God's law. No one breaks God's principle, and it is going to be okay. Secondly, if you're going to be safe this summer, this is a warning, determined to serve God in every season. You know, we have different things here you can do. You can work in our media room. You can sing in the choir. You can there. We have interpreters for the deaf. We have interpreters for the Spanish. We have bus routes, and we have Sunday school classes. We have King Kids. We have our mission board and things to be done through that. We have the homes on Thursday night and on Saturday that is doing a great work, and some homes that we go into. There's different things you can do, but find something to do for God all the time. You may be in a ministry, for instance, our King's Kids. It stops with the school year and it doesn't continue through. It'll pick back up over when school picks up, and there's other things like that as well. But determined to serve God in every season. In verse 1, notice it says, at the time when kings went forth to battle, David did not attack the enemy. He wasn't attacking. The best defense is a good offense, someone said. So get busy serving the Lord. Your offense is the decision to serve God. find a place to plug into that you need to dedicate this time, this effort, this time to the Lord. You know, there's way too much playtime in the Christian life today. Let me say, the Bible says that when I was a child, I thought as a child. And you act like a child, but you put away your childish things. Something that I noticed, and the Lord just revealed it to me some years ago. But in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible's talking about the whole armor of God. And in verse 13, there's this great revelation. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Now let me ask you something. Are some days more evil than others? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes, there is. There are certain times, and I think there are things in our childhood, the way we grew up and what we did in our childhood was the pattern of our family that had nothing to do with God, the Bible, the church, spiritual. It had no spirituality to it at all. And it has been a part of our life, a way of our life. And it's during that time, and I think summertime's a big part of that. Some years ago, I pastored a family, and they were a mess. They were just so lost. And this lady came on one of our church buses with another lady, a friend of hers. And they both came, and both of them made a profession of faith. And they were baptized, and their husbands, I don't think the other lady was married, but the husband of this one lady, he didn't want any of it. And he was doing drugs, and he was not just doing alcohol, but doing all kinds of drugs as well. And I remember going to, they had this little shack of a trailer. And it was one of these single wild trailers stuck out in the woods somewhere. And, you know, it's one of those places that if you heard a banjo, you want to start running for your life. And it had these steps, wooden steps, and there's no rail on it, and they were poorly made. And I'm not embellishing this. There was probably 150 to 200 Crunch beer cans in a big garbage bag right off the side of the door outside. And when I knocked on the door, the lady who had gotten saved, she invited me in, and there were just people walking through the house, adults walking through the house, and they were drinking in a big, large, brown quart bottles of beer, you know, just drinking out of the bottle, and they were walking around. Her husband was in the bathroom, and he was shooting up. He was doing drugs, and he was too embarrassed and really too high to come out to meet me that night. And she was a bit embarrassed, and I said, "Well, you tell him that I came by to talk with him." And I said, "You be faithful in church." And she was, and she came, and she was very faithful. And as we began to preach, she came into my office. This is a good while. I don't know how many months, but a long time. And she came to my office, and she told me, she said, "I'm leaving the church. I want to go to a church that's more loving." And she said, "I want to find a church that's more, this is too hard. You're too hard of a preacher." And I said, "Well, you know, I want you to know we do love you." And I said, "But a loving church tells the truth. It doesn't hide the truth. And you can go to churches that say love and truth, but the truth's not there. There's no love to it. There's no truth in it." That's what I told her. And she left. And she was gone the whole summer. The entire summer she was gone. I didn't see her. And one Sunday evening, just before the evening service began, the choir was practicing, there's a knock on my door, and it was this lady. Now, she'd been gone the whole summer. And she came in, and she said, "Pastor Savage, I need to talk with you." I said, "Please come in." And she says, "I'm here to ask you, can I please come back to church?" And I said, "Well, of course you can come back to church." I said, "You should have never left." She said, "Well, my husband told me, he said, we're fighting like cats and dogs. We're fighting like cats and dogs. And every day is a battle. And he told me," and he used her name, "and he said, why don't you go back down there to that church? Well, you're going to that church, you're a lot better wife and a lot better mama." Now, this is a man who does drugs and who's drinking alcohol. My hand up. That's the absolute truth. And she told me this. And I said, well, you come back. And she came around the desk and she hugged me. She says, thank you for letting me come back. She came and her husband was one of these hard ones that comes by prayer and fasting. You know what I'm talking about? Her husband's one of those guys that slipped through with every new pastor every 2.5 years. But the day came that he received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It was glorious. They were big into summer baseball. Their boys were outstanding athletes. And they began missing church on Wednesday. They began missing church activities and things like that. And they began, and I went to them and said, now listen, you need to be faithful. You know, let me tell you, no one can afford to miss, but there are some who come from such a pit, they certainly can't afford to miss. And when you backslide, normally you backslide to where the Lord found you. And they thought about it, and they came to me and said, you know, preacher, we pulled the boys out of baseball. You're right. We're going to be all in. We're going to be faithful in church. And they were for a long, long time. They were very faithful for many years. God blessed them. They got out of that shack of a trailer. They bought property. They built a beautiful home. You know what I'm talking about? Built a beautiful home. He had his own business. He was flourishing in his own business. They were doing well. And then when their kids got to be teenagers, all of a sudden, you know, what you find acceptable at the junior age, some find impossible at the teenage. And I'm just trying to help teenagers to not go out and fornicate and wreck and ruin their life with liquor and alcohol. Somebody say amen. I'm telling the truth here. I'm just trying to help you. And they got upset. And that man, he came in my office 2 or 3 times. And she had him wound tight. And there was one particular day that he was talking to me. He stood up and I was sitting behind my desk and he took his fist and he is pounding and screaming at me from the other side of my desk, pounding and screaming at me. The first time he came, I sat down with him and I reasoned from the scripture and he saw it. He said, thank you, Pastor. And he went home and she said, you're on his side now. He's got you on his side. And got him all wound up again. Let me tell you, man, you lead your wife. Don't let her twist you like a cork. You lead her in scripture. You show her the right way and you let her know how it's going to be. I'm convinced that some man, if you came home from work and the wife says, you know, I've been thinking about it. I'm a little bit interested in this Mormon religion. Let's go over here, the Seventh-day Saints. And you'd say, okay. There's some men who are that way. Okay. You're supposed to be leading. You're the priest of your home, man. You're supposed to lead your house. I tell Debbie, have you lost your mind? Have you been hitting the NyQuil again? That would be me. He came up there and veins were sticking out. But I want to tell you this. You see, the situation that I'm in is I'm in the corner of God's word and I can't move. If we're arguing what's the best flavor, vanilla or chocolate, I'll let him win in that. And as he leaves, I'll go, ha, 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 vanilla's the best. But when it comes to God's word, there's no leeway. There's no margin there. And I can't move on it. I'm not going to move on it. And they left the church. Broke my heart. It was hurting me physically. Only Debbie sees things like this. It was hurting me physically. And one morning I woke up about 3 a.m. and God spoke to me. He says, I relieve you of your burden for these people. Give them to me. You've had that, Pastor? And I called them at 8 o'clock that morning and I said, I want you to know God spoke to me this morning at 3. Have your way. Do what you're going to do it anyway. But I'm tired of being your enemy because I tell you the truth. But let me remind you, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But I'm done. I have no more burden about this. I'm not fighting you anymore. Go your way, and I give you to the Lord. Immediately the next week, her brother hangs himself. And she calls me. She says, "Pastor, would you preach the funeral?" And I did. One of the saddest funerals, and I've preached some real sad ones, and that was one of them. It wasn't but about, I want to say, maybe 3 weeks to a month later, wasn't long, the beautiful house they built burnt to the ground. Burnt to the ground. They ended up divorced. It's a sad thing. She died in a little bitty apartment and was dead for weeks before somebody ever missed her, because no one, including her children, would have anything to do with her. You know where it started? It started in the summertime when she started bucking the preaching and the Word of God. That's where it started. It'll take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. Determine to serve God in every season. Remember the law of sin. You're not going to be able to break God's law, and you're the special case who gets by with it. Then lastly, let me say, plan your summer activity carefully. The Bible says in verse 2, "And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed." What's he doing getting up at that hour? He should have been up already. He had his days and nights mixed up. And let me encourage you that just because it's summertime, you know, get out of bed just as you would any other time. You know, map out your schedule, take your 1 or 2 weeks of vacation, have your fun, but come home and then get busy serving God. Before you map out, it sounds like a stuck record, doesn't it? Before you map out your schedule, check the church schedule. Make sure we're not having revival. Make sure we're not having preaching conference. Make sure we're not having neighbor day. Make sure it's not a special time that you're going to miss that you need, that's scheduled for you. Be careful in your planning. Don't allow for temptation. Don't go to places that are going to drum up those old things. You know what I'm saying? There are some places that I can go to, and it's amazing if I go see the Cardinals play or I go to a ball game, and sometimes the music that they play, just the bits of it that they play, take me back to the 60s and the 70s. And I can remember every lyric of that, but I can't remember John 3:16 sometimes. And David placed himself in a weak place. He was from the roof, from the top of the roof. He shouldn't have been up there. He put himself in a bad place of temptation. So you stay away from places that's going to cause you to be tempted. Temptation's not a sin. To yield to temptation is a sin. But be wise not to put yourself. Be strong in the word when temptation comes. Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Listen, Joseph, when Potiphar's wife grabbed him and tried to force him to be with her, Joseph lost his coat. Joseph lost his job. Joseph lost his freedom. But Joseph kept his purity. Joseph kept his character. Joseph kept his testimony. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Listen, remember the law of God. If you sow it, you're going to reap it. Or you may not reap it tomorrow, But you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap later than you sow, and you're going to reap more than you sow. And you're probably going to reap it in your children. Determined to serve God, whatever season it is. Find something to do for the Lord. And then plan your summers carefully. Let's have a good summer this year. Let's not have a summer slump. Let's have a summer jump. Amen? Let's continue going sowing, and let's continue praying. Let's be faithful in services. And let me encourage you, we have live stream, but when you travel, stop for church if you can. It's more difficult than it's ever been. It's quite eye-opening to me. I had no idea it was that bad, but it is. But be in your place, and you better realize that some folks never recover. Some folks never recover from the season of summertime. And I got several illustrations and stories I could tell you. Would you stand with me? I think tonight would be a good time. Before summer gets here, school will be out a couple of weeks or so, I'm not sure. Routine's going to be changed. I don't think people remember this anymore. But the reason why we didn't have school year round, the reason we had summer break, was for children to help their parents in the fields to reap the fields. That's the purpose. It wasn't to lay up in bed till 10:30 or 11 o'clock in the morning and sit up till 3 in the morning. There wasn't any of that garbage going on. And I'm just saying this. Plan your vacation. Plan it. And if you have a schedule that's really lax, don't miss church. And don't think church is live streaming. Be in your place. And I just think that if we wait till we're tempted, we're going to make the wrong decision. But if we tonight say, by the grace of God, we're not going to be one of Pastor's illustrations in about 15 years. Of course, I don't think I'll be here in 15 years. Who knows? But I'm just saying, listen, we should determine tonight we're going to go through this summer with the same fervency. To love God, to walk with God, to be in His house, to be in His book, to pass out tracts, to share the gospel, to go soul winning, to support missions, to continue on, and not take a vacation. I could tell you a story. I've told it a long time ago, but I'm not going to take any more time. But it's actually Dr. Allison who bumped into some church members. He called about 150 miles from church in a terrible compromised position. And their excuse was, well, when we're this far from church, we do this. And when we're this far from church, we do this. And I know it's hard to believe that, but he shares that story. Let's be real. And let's don't think that we can compromise. Let's don't think that we can yield and be okay. It won't be okay. Father, help us tonight. I pray that we husbands will tenderly, lovingly lead our homes. And that we'd be men of conviction and Bible principle. And Lord, I pray that we would have a great summer, and that we would take that time of refreshment to go away and to be out. But we would serve you while we're away. We'd set the right example for our children as we travel abroad. And then we'd come home and just pick up right back where we left off a week or 2 weeks ago and get busy walking and serving God. I pray that this message would be received from a shepherd to the sheep as a great loving warning. We won't them to prosper and to do well. And we know the devil wants to shred them and destroy them. Don't allow another time, the wrong place on the rooftop, the wrong things to see, hinder and destroy any of our homes and hurt our church. Bless the invitation. In thy name I pray. God's spoken to you tonight. Perhaps you need to come and say, by the grace of God, we will serve the Lord in the summertime. Come now.